In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. A happy feast day to each and every one of you. And despite all the great planning to get here by 7:30 and start on time, the devil's always working. It was, I guess, a big accident. I don't know. I got off the highway and worked around and did some side streets and all. But normally the traffic's not very bad by 6:45 when you're coming out of here, but it was always something. But we're here on this great feast day, and hopefully everybody's been commemorating in some special way today, September 8th. Yes, the church's veneration of Holy Mary, Theotokos, has always been rooted in a key word: obedience. Obedience. I think we all know how difficult obedience is. And yet when we look at the Blessed Mother, we see that she made a free-willed choice to accept what truly was an impossible human endeavor. And I don't think most of us really encounter that kind of choice in our life. The church has always emphasized Holy Mary's relationship to humanity. And humanity, the church, rejoices and delights in Holy Mary. Because this woman is the purest of the human race. This woman is the most beautiful of our human race. This woman is held up as the perfection of the human race. This woman, of all people ever born, she is the glory of the human race. And all generations call her blessed. In Holy Mary, we see exemplified the ultimate meaning and the content of the human race. She literally became a tabernacle of God. And such is the exalted human vocation of all of us, to become worthy vessels, tabernacles of divine life. The Eastern Church, in particular, rejoices and praises Holy Mary's pivotal participation in God's divine plan. Through Holy Mary, the Son of God became man. He took on a human nature. Why? In order to incorporate human nature into his own divinity, to become sharers, partakers, as St. Peter says in his epistle, of divine nature. Just a little side note. This is what is unique about the Christian faith. So while Taoism and Confucianism and maybe Buddhism can offer you peace and through certain exercises, certain practices, and they too may talk about the way of love, there are human endeavors that can only take you so far. And there's value in them. But what none of them can promise or offer is what the Christian faith proclaims, and what we're celebrating as we contemplate the Blessed Mother, that we can become partakers of divine life. God in his Son became one with us, that forever and all eternity, human nature may participate in God's divine life. Devotion to Mary, then, can be completely understood once we realize this profound teaching and reality. In fact, if you look at the Western Church, Western Christianity, they often will emphasize more the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother. And oftentimes you'll see her depicted in images alone. Eastern Christianity emphasizes more and finds the veneration of Our Lady more in her motherhood. And that's why in our icons you'll never see, okay, I won't say never because you get people who break with the tradition, but you should never see Our Lady without our Lord. We emphasize her motherhood. If Mary gave to God a human nature, in order for human nature to be divinized, she's the link. She's the source. She is the link and the source of this extraordinary, beyond human comprehension, of a divine and human exchange. She's the bridge. And it is revealed in a very unique way on this great feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos. Let's just remember this liturgically. This is the first great feast of our new liturgical year. And the last great feast of our liturgical year is the Dormition. So our year begins with the Blessed Mother. Our year ends with the Blessed Mother, because she is what we are all working towards. She's the fulfillment. The whole liturgical year and everything we celebrate and recall and commemorate and praise God for happens in her, and we're all moving toward the same completion. And she's the example, and she made it all possible. But then, if we think about all this, then we say, well, wait a minute here. This is so extraordinary. Why is there nothing in the scriptures about her birth? But then again, why should there be? It really was an ordinary, routine event. There's nothing extraordinary about a baby being born. It says as ordinary and normal as the beginning of time when Adam and Eve gave birth to Adam, to Seth and Abel and Cain. But then the church does something. She takes the birth of Our Lady on September 8th. And somewhere along the way, the church elevated it to a great feast. And looking at this icon of the feast day, it looks rather ordinary. Nothing extraordinary happened. You have St. Anne in her bed. She's just given birth to Our Lady. And you have some women attending her. And you see Joachim, confused, bewildered as every man is when he has his first baby. So there's nothing out of the ordinary. But when you look at the icon a little bit more closely with some spiritual eyes or sacramental eyes, what appears ordinary and routine, perhaps the church is telling us something that in what is ordinary routine is actually quite extraordinary, is the entrance of any baby into this world just really ordinary? Not really. A new human life coming into the world is never just ordinary and routine. Every birth, every human birth,
is the miracle of miracles. The birth of every baby marks a new start. It marks a new beginning for the entire world. In some way, with every birth, the world is being recreated. Recreated anew. And this world, which God called good, is given to this new human life, who's His image and His likeness. Today's celebration, therefore, is a general celebration then for the of mankind, of the human person, of man. Nevertheless, it is also the celebration of a unique and particular person. Yes, Holy Mary. The church, you and I with the church. Well, we know and grasp the significance of the birth, the meaning, and the destiny for the world with this today's birth. So the church celebrates and honors and venerates Our Lady on her birthday. Today also the church is recalling all those who prepared for today's celebration. All the long genealogy of the Blessed Mother. In our day and age, we're often conscious about our hereditary, our gene pool, and who our forefathers were and how far they go back and where they came from and who they were. Well, we can also think about that with Mary and all the people in the Old Testament who prepared for her coming by their own righteous deeds, by their own virtuous acts, by their own good habits and good choices, by their own acts of selfless love. That was paving the way and made the way for a beautiful flower to be born. And so today we think about the genealogy, all of her ancestors, and we praise God for them. Mary didn't come out of a vacuum. She had holy parents. She had holy grandparents. She came from the line of David. And all these holy men and women. And by their righteous living, they made the way for a righteous woman to be born. So today is also a celebration of human history and a human genealogy. So what does this tell us? What can we learn from this? While we are bombarded constantly with the images and stories and news of evil, and it seems so prevalent and so visible and so publicized, and then we become filled with doubt about the existence of goodness. And worse, we fall into despondency and discouragement, become pessimistic and cynical. Evil, that's from the devil. But today's great feast proclaims something else. Something radically different. In Holy Mary, God came to embrace the whole world. There's true beauty and goodness in human nature, and we can see it. When we reflect on the Blessed Mother, we can hold on to these words. The human person, you and I truly are lovable. Christ is among us.